Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 22nd of January, recording at 9:15 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights of the week, as this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various different asset classes. Well, first, over the last 3 days, it's been a bloodbath in stock markets. Now, as of today, maybe Asia has seen the least damage. And for instance, there was a bravura performance by some of the Asian stock markets today, in that they closed near the day's highs, although they were still down. Japan was weaker, down 2.5%. But the European stock markets were hit fairly hard, and they may open lower on Monday, given what's happened with Wall Street, because Wall Street shows declines of around 2.25% on average for the indices. And we're really talking about 5%, that's today, and we're talking about declines in the order of 5% over the last 3 days. So that qualifies as downward dynamics. We've seen some of the sharpest downward dynamics by those markets that were quietly ranging higher for so long that we have seen in many a month. Now, on long-dated government bonds, we've had a steadier tone throughout the week, although barely so in here today. But bond prices have rallied against this background. So for previously, of the ones that have the futures contracts, and where people were feeling most strongly that rates were going to rise, such as the Japanese 10-year government, not the Japanese 10-year government bonds, the Australian 10-year government bonds, and UK gilts. The bond prices have rallied from their lows back into the trading ranges. And a stronger market, such as the Euro bunds, they have rallied up into the higher side of their trading ranges, as of JGBs. Now, the U.S. dollar has had a strong week generally, but a little bit of a pause here today, and that actually started yesterday. The euro is a little bit firmer today, bouncing off that 141 level, or that 140 level, I should say. And the dollar's down back below 90 yen as I speak. They won't like that in Japan on Monday, I suspect. Precious metals, it's been a tough week. Platinum and palladium had held out but got clipped today. And platinum, for instance, down 44.60, it was lower. Palladium down 23. Gold has recovered from its lows in the day. Got down to 1082. And is currently almost unchanged on the day, down 50 cents at 1093.50. What else is going on here? Silver was clipped earlier in the day, got down to 1688, currently 1708. That's down 43 cents. So heavy selling, as you can see, taking place. And industrial metals were not exempt, with the exception of copper, a bravura performance in the U.S. copper market, because that had dropped down to 326.70 and is currently at 334.50, and that's up 5 cents on the day. So, as I say, a bravura performance there. The commodities are weaker in here today, although I see, most for the most part, I see coffee's up a fraction. Natural gas is also up a little bit. Crude oil slipped again, down to 74.18. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, stock markets, you may recall, we had those little tiny weekly keys last week, which Owen wrote about on Monday. Point that was made was that we would need to see downside follow through for those to be valid signals. Well, we have certainly seen downside follow through this week. So the technical evidence in the short term is negative, albeit correcting the short term overbought condition that had existed. Now, given the dynamics that we have seen, and the two frights that they've had, the fright last week and earlier this week was about Chinese policy regarding liquidity, its monetary policy, and China raising its reserve requirements for banks. I said at the time and maintain that that was a very sensible move overall. But we have had candid statements from Chinese officials saying that the amount of money that was pumped into the system in 2009 turned out to be greater than was actually necessary. So they're reining a little of that in. There's a difference between that and a squeeze, I would quickly point out. But it has weighed on the market, as has the supply of new IPOs. And so that China leash effect is mildly negative and has been for a number of weeks. Now, the more important leash effect comes from Wall Street, and that had been positive. And as Wall Street had been quietly ranging higher, but this 5% and dropping, this 5% and counting, I should say, drop that we've actually seen has changed that. So in the short term, the technical evidence here is negative. The risk that would concern me most would be if we see these indices fall back into the big trading ranges that had formed, those big sideways trading ranges that were occurring from really September or October onwards last year. Now, some of those had an upward bias, some of them had quite a strong upward bias, some of them were basically sideways, and a few of them had a slight downward drift. But those were big patterns, and markets broke out on the upside following their year-end and early January gains. Those early January gains have now been retraced, and we're probably more stock markets are probably actually down on the year-to-date, having wiped out those earlier gains in the last 3 days. So, what I don't want to see, and what I actually fear here, is that those big trading ranges from which stock markets broke out nice and cleanly on the upside, but they haven't maintained the breaks. I mentioned at the time that we did not want to see failures with markets pulling back into those ranges, because that could be the beginning of a larger corrective phase, and that's a real risk today. Last big news development, of course, is the announcement from President Obama regarding the banking regulation. And that's the metaphorical straw, or some would say hammer, that has broken the camel's back in here, largely because it's created a lot of uncertainty about bank earnings. Markets don't like uncertainty, and it's also extremely contentious, and that's not good for investor sentiment generally. So I think that's going to boil for a while. Historians will will recall that the debate back in the 1930s was also extremely acrimonious, and this is no difference. I think something like the Glass-Steagall Act, for instance, I think it took several years before that was sorted out and became law. And certainly Paul Volcker is trying to bring back something that at least honors the spirit of the Glass-Steagall Act. You probably read more about that than you care to, and it'll be very much in the weekend press. So we're talking about a bit of a perfect storm in here, and I certainly can't say that it's over. What we do need to see is a rebound, preferably signaled by some form of upward dynamics to show that the selling is abating. But the dynamics right now, as I've already mentioned, are to the downside. So I there's a real risk that we see some further selling pressure next week. What about these other markets? Long-dated government bonds are taking their cue from the stock markets, and so there's a little bit of flight to safety there. I should say, though, I want to go back to stock markets for a moment and say that while this could be a medium-term correction, so far it's a sharp reaction. But that's the way medium-term corrections can begin, and until I see some evidence that it's over, I don't want to underestimate the potential downside. I doubt very much that it's the end of the bull run proper, because I don't think we're going to see a lot of monetary tightening. We are going to see the end of the quantitative easing, perhaps, but that's a far cry from the type of monetary squeeze that has killed off past bull runs. And we've also got plenty of uncertainty over the banking sector earnings now. Earnings have been pretty good generally overall. So I think this is at worst probably a mean reversion correction, which could last for several months within the overall bull market. We saw something similar for different reasons, of course, back in 2004, which worried people quite a bit at the time. And then markets regained their upward momentum and did exceedingly well. But that was a pause of 7 or 8 months. And if that were to happen today, I think part of last year's trading ranges would form part of that time span. In other words, we could be halfway or more through the overall corrective process. Now, looking at the commodity markets, they have been hit as well, not always for the same reason. I mentioned the grain and bean complex yesterday, and I do intend to write about it. I haven't done that again today, but the basic point that I wanted to make, and will repeat, is that those grains and beans look oversold. And a point that Owen made in our conversations this morning, which is I agree with, is that as and when traders are looking around for something to buy that is not equity correlated, that the grains and beans might well qualify. So they have fallen from the higher side of trading ranges for the most part down towards the lower side of trading ranges and are looking somewhat oversold. I am tempted to nibble there myself. Now, the precious metals have been hard hit. The gold and silver are oversold, and near their reaction lows that we saw last month, I'd like to have those lows hold in terms of the overall technical picture, but again, we need to see some upward dynamics here to confirm that that's going to be the case. I suspect that gold and silver are back in accumulation zones right now, but if we were to see breaks below last month's lows, that would worry some people that we were going to get a bigger correction back towards the top of the large trading range at the $1,000 level for gold bullion, for instance. I'm writing this out for the time being on my trading page, on my trading positions, in a slightly better shape than on the last shakeout because I had taken my profits in platinum on the way up, and if that comes closer to the $1,500 level, I may consider opening up some of those longs once again. Elsewhere, in terms of, I'm going to stick with the precious metals for a moment, in terms of gold's overall cycle, it would be premature to say that this retest of the reaction low that we've seen last month is out of character with previous setbacks. It's not out of character, but it is a fairly large pullback, and if the seasonal factors and the consistency with previous moves that we've seen out of the very large consolidation trading ranges is to be repeated, then I think we're going to need to see some upward dynamics in gold and silver quite soon, with gold probably leading the way. The industrial metals, lead's deteriorated. Tin has remained quite steady by comparison. The copper performance I mentioned here earlier today, to the extent that funds have positions in these metals, and they do, just as they have them in gold and silver and platinum and palladium, that does leave the markets susceptible to some pullbacks here. But there is a lot of underlying support beneath current levels, and I see no evidence that this overall bull run for the industrial metals is, I see no evidence that it's over. The sector can be quite volatile, however. Among the agricultural commodities, I've already mentioned the grain and bean complex. I think those are among the most interesting. Sugar has been on an amazing march. It's a dangerous one up at these levels, but it's still in form. The danger can be mitigated by anybody who's playing these trends, and well done if you are, but it's, I think they require a fairly tight trailing stop. And what is it mentioned? Crude oil. Crude oil back down to 74.14 as I speak. Crude oil has a ranging overall upward trend. But it has not maintained that last upward break, which I suspect owed a lot to fund activity. So it's retraced $10 from its high that it had seen not long ago. That's good news for the global economy overall, oil exporters excepted, and it's not so depressed that it's bad news for them. In terms of the overall global economy, I think most of the evidence is favorable. Recovery's underway. Interest rates are still accommodative. Monetary policy, I should say, is still accommodative. We do not have food price inflation. We do not have energy price inflation. Although the overall trends have been rising, they've been rising gradually in a ranging fashion. So that's an environment that I think can cope with this squall that we're seeing coming from Obama's battle with the banks. But we can expect a little bit more choppy activity. That's certainly going to be a factor, I think, and it's also evidenced by a bounce that we've seen, a sharp bounce that we've seen in VIX over the last couple of days. I think that's pretty much it. A difficult week, one that's probably raised more questions in all of our minds, certainly mine, than answers. Those are my best thoughts here in terms of a roundup on this Friday evening. Meanwhile, have a good weekend. All the best.